Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Brie.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello.
And welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where we're finally going to be comparing books to their movies. I know you guys have had...
I think we're going to say that every time this season.
Oh, we are. Are you kidding? It's been too long. Like, obviously, we recorded a bunch of episodes before the strike was over. Mm-hmm. But now that the strike is over, it's nice to actually be doing this knowing that it's coming out.
Yes, yes. Because, yeah, we are recording this in
November. Right after that.
Yeah, so we're in November right now, yeah. And we are just doing a little dance party over here. We're so excited.
We're very excited, very happy.
It's
a happy time for us.
Yes. We understand that you're going to be getting this in June, but
yeah. And you'll have heard it probably the whole season.
Yes.
Because I have a feeling season 4 is going to be us just being like, yes,
we're back. We're back.
Listen to us ramble.
You know, it's funny. It's probably going to be the first half, and then they're going to be like, thank God they're done with it. And now they get the last half of season 3 where we're like, we're back.
It's true. I mean, we only have 2 episodes where we say that.
Yeah, but we have one more to record. Let's see if we say it then, too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. How did I forget that?
We say it in Allegiant, and then because we recorded out of order, you guys. So we did Allegiant after we did, what did we do? Children of the Corn.
Shawshank.
Is there another one in there?
And then it was Divergent, Insurgent, Allegiant. Mm-hmm. And now it's The Shining.
That's also why they're like, they didn't say this last time. Well, it's because we recorded it back when we could not release it yet.
Yeah. So
there's
that's why you got a break.
Yeah. There's our picture. Our messy recording style. Professional.
I was going to say, when do we not have that for you guys? Don't try to keep up of it. It's too much. I just said try to keep up.
Keep up. Let's do it.
I just scrolled way past everything you need for up here.
Oh, yeah. Season 3, episode 11. Today, we're doing The Shining.
My favorite Stephen King
book. Finally. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we should have done this one first. Because you talk about The Shine in every Stephen King book we do.
I know. Because I love this book so much.
Was there any shine in Shawshank? I didn't see any similarities between anything in his book in Shawshank.
Well, to me, okay. So this could be just a hardcore stretch, but you know how Red is always saying, I don't know if this is true because I heard this from so and so, or like when he pieces it all together.
Uh-huh.
To me, that's him shining.
Oh, I could see the piecing together part being.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the little clues he's gotten,
mm-hmm. The fact that he can be like, okay, this is exactly how he did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it. I feel like it's a stretch, but I'll take it.
It's a slight stretch, yes, but that's where I would see it.
Yeah. Anyways, back to this one.
But also, I didn't even talk about it in Children of the Corn.
Hmm.
Interesting.
There was definitely
Shining in the Corn.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Shining in the Corn.
No, you did talk about it because the little girl drew pictures and
shit. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I was going to say, I was like, wow, the season where I actually read The Shining and I don't talk about it at all, except for during The Shining and Doctor Sleep. Okay. Which,
I mean, makes sense why you would. But, all right, let's do it.
Okay.
So, we are going to give a trigger warning.
Oh, well, let's redo that. Trigger warning.
We're going to give a trigger warning. This has lots of domestic violence in it. And so children related and wife related. And
also maybe
stranger related.
How about just violence?
Yes.
I would also say slightly, but not like too bad, alcoholism.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That could be a trigger. I'm not sure.
And then, you know, it's a horror movie, so there's weird.
A ton of blood.
Yeah. There's your trigger warning. So I know, I feel like almost every Stephen King book has a trigger warning.
Yet we don't do it every time.
We don't, but we should, because
I know there are times when we're talking about things and then we say something and I'm like,
should have warned y'all. But I feel like if you're tuning in to a Stephen King book, you just gotta know, right?
I think we do good with the big stuff.
I think so too. So like, I feel like domestic violence is a kind of
big one. Yeah,
big
for sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's do our synopsis.
Let's.
Jack Torrance becomes a winter caretaker at the isolated Overlook Hotel in Colorado, hoping to cure his writer's block. He settles in along with his wife, Wendy, and his son, Danny, who is plagued by the psychic premonitions. As Jack's writing goes nowhere and Danny's visions become more disturbing, Jack discovers the hotel's dark secrets and begins to unravel into a homicidal maniac hell-bent on terrorizing his family. Look, I even said a bad word.
Wow. Wow. So bad.
Credit to Google. Thanks, Google.
For the cuss word?
Yes, the whole thing. So we have our author, Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
King of horror.
Absolutely.
Yep. And director Stanley Kubrick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to hear what you think of him. I guess right now would be when we talk about it because it's him.
Yeah. Stanley is, he's like, he has some great movies.
I don't know directors at all.
I know. He did 2001 Space Odyssey, A Clockwork Orange, Eyes Wide Shut, this one. I haven't read A Clockwork Orange yet. So I don't know if he did well with that one. I think he's done well. I haven't heard any complaints, unlike with this one. And I don't have any complaints, unlike this one. But as a film student, he's someone that I have to respect because of his crazy filming style and all of the like technology he put forth into the film world and things like that, or like his ideas for filming. Like when I watched the first time I watched The Shining, was for a film class, and my film professor just like kept going on and on about all these different things that he did within the film. So like when I watch the movie, even though now I've read it and I like sit there and I hate it for that reason, I can still also sit there and appreciate all the things that he did within the movie.
Okay.
So it's kind of a catch 22 for me, man.
Got it. You didn't watch it till college?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm utterly shocked.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, because I think I love horror movies. We all know this. But when I think horror, I want something that's going to scare me. And every time I like thought about, oh, maybe I should watch Shining, I was like, hotel makes a person go crazy. No, duh. Like,
yeah,
he's locked away for the winter. What?
Right.
So I never really wanted to watch it. But then it was literally, my class was every Friday night, the library had a film series. And it just so happened that when they were showing this one, that's when I was signed up for it. And like, I could miss a few.
Uh-huh.
But I missed ones later on.
Oh, okay.
And I picked and chose. I was like, okay, yeah, I would actually want to watch The Shining, or I would want to watch this.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, yeah, it was nice because I would like take Sierra with me. And then we liked it so much that me and Sierra both took it our senior year because we were like, this is cool. We have a class where we just have to go and watch movies.
Yeah.
Like, how cool. I'm here for this. Yeah. So that's when I saw The Shining.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was like high school or late middle school.
Well, I think I screwed myself because one of the first Stephen King movies I watched was Carrie.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, no Stephen King.
Yeah.
Got
like,
it.
That movie sucked.
All right. So screenplay writer was also Stanley Kubrick. And Diane Johnson. Mm-hmm. And audiobook reader Campbell Scott. Yeah, he did good.
Nice. Scary.
Creepy. Deep, scary voice. Ooh. Actually, I have a story about the audiobook.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
Okay. Oh, you know it. But we'll pretend you don't. So for the audience.
Yeah. What happened? Oh, yeah. I remember.
Okay. So I rent this book to... I'm like going to a wedding in Eastern Washington. So it's like without my kids, it is... So it's... It was like a...
5-hour drive or something.
It was a 5-hour drive, but the book itself was like 12 hours. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can finish a book in a weekend. That would be awesome. And one, Bree's like, that's the stupidest idea ever because I'm going to a hotel and this is about a hotel. But I really wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking about, oh my gosh, I'll be done with it. I can get ahead
on our reading.
I was so excited. Well, I start listening and it doesn't do The Shining by Stephen King. I was like, that's kind of weird, but I mean, maybe it's a style.
It's a style for this book.
Yeah, I was like, weird. And then, because I had, which we'll get to, I watched it first, so I knew the story. And where the audiobook starts off is where the movie started off, because there's a little teeny bit of the book before the movie. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, it's fine. And it's like, I listened to like maybe an hour's worth. And then I realized it jumped to... No, I listened to a little bit and then it's like chapter 3. I was like, wait, where's chapter 1?
Where's 1 and 2?
Yeah. And then it goes later and it's like chapter 7. I was like, what? And I was like rewinding. I was making sure it was like, I just wasn't skipping. It wasn't. It was just the book I rented sucked. Mm-hmm. So then I had to be on a wait list to rent from a different library. But man, it was annoying.
What a creepy way to start off The Shining.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, just a fun little story for y'all. So this book came out January 28th, 1997. Sorry.
Definitely not.
Yeah, let's try that. That's why. Did you hear me hesitate? I was like, that doesn't sound right. January 28th,
1977. There you go.
Oh gosh. Movie, May 23rd, 1980. 3-year difference.
That actually surprised me. I thought that would have been longer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, which first?
Movie. I watched the movie first.
After you watched it, did you go pick it up? Or did it take a little while?
No, it took a long time.
Really?
Yeah, I only read The Shining probably like 6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I watched it 10 years ago.
Okay.
So it took me 4 years before I picked it up. Yeah, and it was just because... For Christmas, I always ask for books from my dad, and it turned into a Stephen King. Like, I usually just ask for a Stephen King book, because if I go and ask him for Twilight, he's not going to buy me in Twilight. So I have to ask him the books I know he'll buy for me. And so it's usually always Stephen King. And so I was getting into, like, reading a bunch of his stuff, and I was like, how have I not read The Shining? Like, that's, like, one of his more popular books. I should read it. And then I got it, and it was thick. And I was like... I don't like the movie. I don't think I'm gonna like this book. I'm not gonna read it.
Oh no.
So then I waited a little bit, and then finally I was like, okay, you just have to. Like, hello, I have now read Stupid It. Longest book I've ever read. Literally, I started it and I couldn't put it down. And I was like, why did it take you this long to read this?
Cool.
Yeah,
I guess that's part of your initial thoughts then, which is next.
I did not want to read it.
But now that you have read it.
I'm so glad that I have. I read this one. I think this is my third or fourth reread. Uh-huh. And it's just, it's so, every time I reread it, I catch something that I didn't catch the first time. And I love it.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. And I love the matching between all his stories. And I feel like this is like almost the central one.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to read this one to know where all the other stories.
Well, literally, in it, there's this whole huge story about it causing this huge fire. And like right at the end of The Shining, it starts talking about the Overlook as it. So then in my head, as someone who's read it, the book, and The Shining, I'm like, I think this is him tying what it is into what the Overlook's main evil is. But anyways.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I caught this time because I haven't read it since I read it. In it, there's this huge fire that happens that takes place, and it explains because that's like the meteor that brought it to the world or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the whole entire scene has Dick in it.
Really?
You do not know how happy I was. I'm sitting there reading and I'm like, and then there's this little fry cook, Dick Halloran. And I was like, hold on. What?
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So I'm pretty positive it has the shine.
Oh, or the thing that wants the shine.
Oh, we forgot.
We did. Why did we pick this book?
Because it's my favorite. And because it's one last season, Allie literally was like, Brie, I don't even think this was recorded. I think this was just a conversation between me and her. She was like, if you're going to keep fucking talking about The Shining, you have to
schedule The Shining.
She's like, I haven't read the book. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. We have to do it. I was like, I was just nervous about her reading it. And I was nervous to do it.
Well, you should not have been.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I shouldn't have been. But
I know. I wonder how I would have felt with it, because it would have been one of our first books.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how I would have felt with it being one of our first ones.
And I know, without that me we're talking like it up.
50 something books in.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good choice.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, I got some Allie's super fun facts for you. Nicholson considered Duvall's performance the most difficult role he's ever seen an actress take on. Duvall also considers her performance the hardest of her life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Most of the fun facts I read are he seemed to really like her.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, great pick. I think there was one that said he wanted someone else, but in the end, he's so glad that they kept her.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
I know. Made me feel bad for later on in the episode.
I
know.
I love her, so
that's good. All right, so number two, there are so many changes to the script during shooting that, like, changes were made daily that Jack Nicholson claimed he stopped reading them. He would only read the new pages that were given to him each day, and he also said eventually when they was presented with a new page, he'd throw it away because he knew another one was coming.
That actually sounds on point. I'm pretty sure. Watch me spouting freaking movie facts and being completely wrong, but it's not even for this movie. So don't quote me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure when he did Eyes Wide Shut with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, that most of it wasn't with the script.
Wow.
Yeah,
or it's just like, something. Go.
Yeah, it's a weird movie too, but I like it.
Was it Eyes Wide Shut that we talked about in Practical Magic, where Nicole Kidman did her like 80 takes or whatever, and
yes,
then she had to,
yes,
she came back to, and it was weird only doing three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How funny. It was Kubrick.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, well, here we go. Known for his compulsiveness and numerous retakes, he got the difficult shot of blood being poured from the elevator in only three takes.
Whoa.
However, this would be unremarkable if it weren't for the fact that the shot took 9 days to set up and even more to shoot. And it says it doesn't look, or he said it doesn't look like blood, so we have to redo it. And the shot ended up taking like a year for that one scene. That wasn't even in the book.
I was just going to say that. I was like, you know the easy fix for this? Take it out because it's not in the book.
Oh my gosh. A whole year God. For like nothing.
That's insane.
I mean, I guess it's one of the most famous.
It really is.
Movie.
It's very scenes, iconic. But yeah, but
it's not even in the book. All right. So Stanley Kubrick's secretary spent weeks or months typing dozens of pages saying all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. She spent months just that typing that over and over again.
Oh, I bet she went insane.
Oh my gosh, right? And now Danny Lloyd, first off, his name is Danny. Yes, Danny, who plays Danny, was selected because of his ability to concentrate for extended periods of time, because he's only six, his age. He's younger. Danny was closely guarded by Kubrick. And during the film, he didn't even know it was a horror film until years later.
Whoa.
I know. And so,
wow.
So when we rewatched it, I was watching to see how he couldn't figure it out.
It's especially like in the scene where he has the, like, where he's been strangled.
Right. But I guess he just had the makeup done on him.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering why they didn't give us the scene where Danny's in the room. Like, in all honesty, that's the scariest part of the book.
Yeah.
And they just show you going, or him going into the room and then the door open and that's it. So, and I was like, why? It might but it was be to because this. Protect him. That's actually really sweet.
I know. Wow. Like, I hear everyone does not like Kubrick, and here he's like, I'm gonna take care of this little boy.
Mm-hmm.
So sweet.
Mm-hmm. I think he's just a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, I think so. From what I've read.
Yeah.
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 All right. Are we ready to get this comparison going?
Let's do it.
Okay. So Jack, we kick it off with, is in an interview to be the caretaker at the Overlook Hotel during the winter because they shut the hotel down because it's like in the middle of mountains and no one can get to it. And so the guy interviewing him is really hesitant because the last caretaker like up and murdered his whole family. And so Jack, we find out, lost his previous job due to his temper. And he also hurt his son, Danny, because of it. His wife, Wendy, was not excited to go to the hotel. But I mean, what's she going to do? He needs a job.
Yeah, you can't turn that down. My note here is there's a third person in this interview with Jack and the old man, the manager. And I'm like, who the heck is this dude? Why is he in this interview?
Maybe it was the other person, because there's Ullman and then there's another guy, but like they're at different times.
Oh, yeah. So maybe why didn't they explain that?
Because why did they do anything like they did in this movie?
That's very true. Good point. I think it was just to make us unsettled, and it definitely worked for me. Not only is it a third person in the interview, but he's not like on the other side of the desk with Ullman. He's sitting next to Jack.
Right.
So it's like this dude's getting interviewed too.
Yeah. That was kind of weird. Okay. So we find out that Jack broke Danny's arm because he had been super drunk and Danny messed up his manuscript because Jack's an author. And due to this, Jack doesn't drink anymore. We learn that there have been murders and different dark things have happened in this hotel over the last, not few years, ever, last for like ever since the hotel's been around.
Okay. Things are just so different that I think I'm just gonna like be like, this is how this happened in the movie, rather than like go with you from start to finish of the movie.
You do whatever.
Because you don't find out about Jack breaking Danny's arm until like 3/4 of the way through the movie, when he goes to an empty bar in the Overlook and starts talking to an invisible bartender.
Oh,
in the movie.
Did he even break his arm in the book, or he pulled his arm out of the socket?
No, it was a broken arm
in the book. Mm-hmm. Was it pulled out of the socket in the movie?
Oh, maybe it was.
One of them was the socket and one was the arm.
Mm-hmm. So then it was the movie that was the socket.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Danny had a skill where he could see things that were either happening far away. He could read people's minds. He could just know what people were feeling. It's pretty cool.
When they were feeling it. What are they feeling, yelling?
I don't know. So when he tries to focus too hard on things, though, that are happening in his mind, he kind of goes like to a different place, like, you know, like
mm-hmm.
closes his eyes. He's like dreaming almost.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has a little friend, Tony, who he's there, and he's usually there and when he focuses too hard, and he's usually a little nice guy. But lately, Tony has been showing him terrible things, like a dead woman in the bathtub, the word red rum, and all this craziness. And Danny's not very happy with Tony right now. He's not enjoying him. And he comes out of this trance right when his dad gets home.
This does not happen. The movie doesn't explain Danny's shine at all.
No.
Which is what his mind reading and things is called. It doesn't explain it. All of a sudden, you just hear him say, like, you don't want to go to the Overlook. And he's using his finger to talk.
Yes.
And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with this kid?
If you have ever had any questions about this movie, Go read the book because it answers like 90% of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
the book's just so much better. You're not supposed to tell them yet. No, but it's true.
I know. All right. So Wendy has always thought about divorcing Jack because, you know, he's been the alcoholic. He hurt Danny. But Danny starts to freak out when she thinks that. So she hasn't thought about it for a while. I mean, not that that's why she hasn't thought about it, but she just hasn't. So he's not been freaking out about that. Danny is a daddy's boy and it kills her, which I mean, freaking, I would be pissed. I feel like, Tyler, you like your dad who pulled your arm out or broke your arm more than me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you. Love me. And
well, I think the problem here is that Danny's love for Jack is not totally him loving Jack. I think it's just that he wants to be respected and he wants to be loved by Jack. So that's why he goes to Jack more.
It's the be proud of me, daddy.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Uh-huh. Because Jack's just so not there.
Yeah. And so that night. Yeah. Daddy had a daddy.
Whoa. Daddy had a dream.
Danny had a nightmare where Tony came back and showed him more horrible things and red rum again. So something's going on.
Yeah, dude, red rum does not happen as much as it happens. It happens once in the movie. And it does all throughout the book.
Which is kind of shocking throughout. It happens once. Because, mm-hmm. That's what the movie is known for. Red rum, red rum. And it's like, it happens one time.
Well, it's just because he sits there and shouts it in Tony's stupid voice. Again. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's true.
How did that kid not realize it was a horror movie? Because he's sitting there shouting red rum, red rum.
Red rum, red rum. Well, a 6-year-old is like, what's red rum?
Like, I don't know what that means.
Okay. So we find out. Oh, you go.
A note that I have that I don't know where I'm going to interject it. So I'll interject it here. It's about Wendy. Wendy is supposed to be blonde, not brunette or black hair.
No, no, I miss that.
Yeah. It always talks about her pale colored hair.
Oh.
Yeah, it's because you watch the movie first.
That must be it.
Because mm-hmm, every time I read it, I always go, oh, yeah, she's blonde.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot.
All right. Jack got the job at the hotel.
One thing I want to say too about Tony, because in the book, it's always in Danny's head. In the movie, Danny, like I said, talks for Tony through his finger. And I get why they had to do that because you can't really show a voice inside someone's head. But
I mean, you could do that echo effect.
That's true. You could. I don't know why he. I don't know. Scary.
I mean, it's pretty scary having a little kid talk like that.
The first time I watched it and he went and did that, I literally was just like, that's the scariest part of this movie.
Exactly. So Danny went into another Tony episode and it clicked. So the things he's showing him are bad because this hotel is bad. But sucks. His dad got a job. So they're off to the hotel. They get their tour. They saw these topiary creatures and a rook court. And Danny was sitting there listening to people's thoughts. First off, I got to say this because I wrote it like 3 times, topiary creatures. Do you ever play putt-putt computer game as a kid?
No.
Okay. There's this one. They go to the zoo.
Yeah.
It's a kid's game, so they have songs, right? And one's from, they're like, we are the topiary creatures. We're really pleased to meet you.
Hold on.
No, that's like all I know.
Go for it.
It goes like, we are the topiary creatures. We're really pleased to meet you. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't remember all of it, but then it goes, welcome to the zoo. With the kangaroo roos and the zebras too. Welcome to the zoo. And it's the topiary creature singing it. It's cool. Okay, all my 90s putt-putt fans are going to know what the heck I'm talking about.
Okay.
If you know it, just in the comments, all I want you to put is a purple heart. Okay. That's it. Okay, I want to see a lot of purple hearts in our socials.
Well, in the movie it's head maze. That would be freaky as all fuck.
A bunch of heads.
Oh my god, it's a hedge maze.
Why did they do that? There, you would have gotten
that would have been great. That would have been freaky. But it's hedge maze, not hedge animals. When they're doing the tour, Omen comes to find him, not the other way around. Here, this is me getting nitpicky again. Yeah. Because it's my book. But because in the book, Jack gets there and he's like ignoring his family because he's looking for Omen. Because he's like, okay, I need to get the tour of the place. Okay, where's Omen? Where's Omen? And he can't find him for like 30 minutes. And in the movie, Danny sees the twins right away. The creepy little ghost twins that everyone also knows and loves.
Which weren't really a thing in the book either.
No, they aren't. I mean,
are they even in it at all?
They are the daughters that Grady kills, but they don't never see them. No,
at all.
No. Yeah, this is kind of like Allegiant, where he took the title but went with his own thing.
But a little bit better.
A lot better.
A little bit closer.
Isn't that sad? A lot better.
Yes. Okay, so they meet up with this guy, the chef of the hotel, named Halloran, and he helped finish out the tour. And then Wendy and Jack had to go do other adult things. And that sounds dirty. They went and did other things with the other guy that was doing the tour.
They were finishing the tour.
Thank you. Yes. And Halloran sat with Danny for a little bit. And Danny realized he can talk to him in his head. And this is when we figure out what the shine is. Because Halloran has it too. And he said his grandma calls it the shine because you just shine. You just like glow. And I'm like, that's such a sweet way to think about it.
Yeah.
And he said a lot of people have the shine, but they don't even realize they have it. And but also remember, just because you have a vision about something doesn't mean it will happen, which is important. Because Danny freaks out all the time.
I mean, if you were a 6-year-old seeing all, no, 4-year-old seeing all this.
I know. Poor kid.
Yeah.
So him and Danny kept talking. He said, never go into room 217 because there's something very bad in that room. We find out that Halloran isn't even planning on coming back next season because it's such a dark and like spooky place. Mm-hmm. And he said, Danny, if you ever have trouble, just use your shine and call me real, real loud.
First off, in the movie, the room is 237, not 217.
Why?
And I don't understand that change.
Why? Like, what's the point?
It's the stupidest change. Drives me crazy. Also, they meet Dick in the book because on their tour, they're now in the kitchen. And so Dick is there. In the movie, Dick shows up in this fancy ass suit. And I'm like, you're supposed to be in chef's clothes. Who are you? And then they make him all creepy. They make the shine super creepy when he first shows Danny that he can shine. Because he's sitting there talking to Wendy. And then like, they make his conversation with Wendy all quiet. And then you see him kind of turn and look at Danny. And it's like, hi, Doc. I'm like, why? And then the whole conversation that happened that Allie just said happens over ice cream in the movie, not Dick being like, can Danny help me out to the car?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they continue and finish up their tour, and they're going to the rooms now, and Danny sees blood all over the presidential suite. But he remembered what Dick said, and it's like, it's pictures, so close your eyes and open it again. And then he did, and the blood was gone. And so he's going down the halls, and there's these old school fire hoses, like the ones with like, they were actually hoses like wrapped up in the wall. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to set his shine off too. Like, it's weird. And there's nothing wrong with their room, which is there. He's happy with. And he finds out it was Mr. Halloran's room, which Danny was very happy about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main jobs Jack must do is check the boiler several times a day because it
doesn't work. And if it gets up past 250 degrees, it'll explode.
Yeah.
Which boilers are supposed to be able to do.
Right.
Whoops. Maybe you guys should get that replaced.
I know. I cannot believe. Why would you have such a liability on you?
Yeah, that's insane.
Because then the movie or the book wouldn't happen, right?
It's true. That's exactly why.
So everyone's gone for the season. Now it's just the three of them from November until May. And that sounds horrendous.
I honestly think I would love that. Of course, that's me knowing that if I were trapped in a hotel, I would just be reading books the whole time, playing video games.
But there was no video games back then.
Oh, I would make video games.
You'd sit there with a TV controller pretending. Yeah.
Oh, and then you'd run up so good
with like puppets.
Yeah. So in the movie, Jack does not have to check the boiler at all. He keeps sleeping in. I'm like, dude, you were always the first one up because you had to go down and check it. And then you hung out in the freaking basement with the boiler because you had to check it. Like, that was your whole purpose at the hotel. If you're not doing that, what are you doing there? Why are you locked up there? I don't understand that. And the rest of the tour did not happen in the movie. And the fire hoses are not a thing in the movie. And I wish they were because I liked that part of the book.
So another one of...
Oh, yeah. This was a big one, too.
What I'm about to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
One, I didn't make a note of it.
Another of Jack's jobs he had to
do. Oh, hold on. I gotta go back to Dick and Danny's conversation.
Okay.
In the book, like Allie said, Dick is the one who's told Danny that there's bad things at the Overlook, but they can't harm you. In the movie, Danny has to ask Dick, are there bad things at the Overlook? Why? Also, I put Dick isn't honest with Danny in the movie.
I know. He told him like everything basically in the book.
Yeah. And in the movie, he kind of is sugarcoating it and hiding things.
Yeah. So one of Jack's jobs that he also had to do was take care of this wasp's nest. And this book had a lot of like flashback or memory type of things. And so we have a memory of him when he was a kid. Or no, of the kid, which is the reason he got fired. So he basically was this guy who was in charge of the debate team, and this kid stuttered. And so he was really not great at debate because he ran out of time, and this kid was pissed and slashed his tires. And then he goes and catches him, and he ends up beating the crap out of him. And then he like comes to, and he's like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And try. It's like he was in an out of body experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear that, you know, Danny and Wendy went shopping, so they're out of the house. But then they come back, and then Danny gets the old wasp nest. He's like, "Yeah, they're all dead. Don't worry about it."
That does not happen in the movie.
Nope,
not at all.
Danny then locks himself in the bathroom one night, and he will not open the door. He ends up having sort of like a seizure fit type of thing, and his parents end up breaking in to help him. And when he's able to talk again, he shares about his friend Tony and how he told him to lock the door. And they've heard about Tony before, but it's like, oh, it's an imaginary friend type of thing. He also shares things to his parents that he shouldn't know. So like something that only his parents know. I can't remember the examples that he's done. But
the movers, when they moved into their new house, lost a box of Jack's papers, and he really needed those, and he found that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember anything with his mom that doesn't happen in the book.
Yeah.
I only remember those.
And oh, here's one. So all the rules to the game of Rook.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
At least I think, because I think of like croquet. Oh, maybe it's roquet. Roquet doke.
I'm pretty sure the audiobook reader kept saying rook. Audiobook reader's got to fix that.
Don't you like how I'm like, how to pronounce roke? And then Google's like, roke.
Yes.
You new idiot.
And so he tells him about Red Rum, and he's asking, Dad, are you going to hurt us? And everything like that. And, Danny ended up going to bed that night after they like calmed him down, and he had a nightmare that someone's going to hurt them with a roke mallet. And he woke up because the wasps were stinging him all over, and Jack's pissed off, and he takes pictures of the bug bomb company to sue them and everything. And he goes downstairs because he's craving a drink, but there's no alcohol in the place. And he hears a whole lot of people, but he doesn't see anyone.
That does not happen in the movie, But I will say in the movie, when Danny goes into his trances, when he wakes up, he can't remember anything. That frustrated me because every single time he's always been like, okay, so this is what I just saw. This is what just happened to whoever is like, Danny, what happened? Mm-hmm. But in the movie, he's like, I can't remember. Also, he doesn't tell his parents about The Shining. He doesn't tell them about Red Rum. He doesn't tell them about anything. He tells them about Tony because of a doctor visit. But I'll get to that when Allie gets to it.
Yeah, that part bothered me because he was so honest with his parents in the book. Mm-hmm. And then it was all secret.
Yeah.
All right. So they took Danny to the doctor because he's covered in wasp stings and he's like crazy. And so Danny eventually told Dr. Bill all about Tony and how he can sense things and sees things. And he convinced Danny to go and like go see Tony. So he went into like his small trance, and the doctor then shared this information with his parents. And he believes that he's phasing Tony out because, you know, you guys were thinking about a divorce and that was freaking him out, but now you're not. And so he's trying to get rid of Tony. And they're all shocked because Danny should never have known they were even thinking about a divorce.
Well, also, in this part in the book, Dr. Bill, as they're about to leave, also then asks Wendy about if she ever had a sister that died and if Danny would know about it. And Danny wouldn't know about it. And she was like, Dr. Bill was like, Danny just said that you were in the waiting room worrying about her and yada yada. And Wendy was like, I literally was like,
yeah,
something's up. Because Dr. Bill also kind of like brushed it off. And Wendy was like, no, my kids, there's something up with my kid. In the movie, the doctor's visit happens at their house because Danny goes into a trance. Like the first scene we meet Danny after he's talking to Tony, he goes into a trance and falls off of a stool in a bathroom. So the doctor comes to his house to see him and Danny tells him about Tony. But when the doctor's a woman, when she asks about Tony, he tells her, it's the person living in my mouth. What? I'm like, what? And then Wendy told the doctor that Tony was someone that just showed up after they put Danny in a nursery, which Tony is just someone that has been there the whole time. It's not he showed up because of this. It's just Tony is Tony.
Right.
I also put that Tony's a dick in the movie. He's really mean. I don't like him. In the book, he's like the friend who's kind of like, hey, there's something crazy gonna happen. You should probably look out. And Tony in the movie is just there to be scary. The other thing that I want to make a note of, in the book, it's very obvious that Wendy and Jack have a rocky relationship. Like Allie just said, they were thinking of divorce. This has been brought up a few times in the book. In the movie, Jack and Wendy seem totally happy. And I get that they have to do that because it then makes what happens with Jack even creepier. But still, I'm like, give me that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Jack was doing his routine and he was checking everything. And he decides to look at old papers of the Overlook. And he found like this scrapbook of they had blueprints and guest lists and financial stuff. And invitations to a masquerade ball to celebrate the reopening. And it had all this dirty laundry about what happened at the Overlook. And like there was a mob boss murder in the presidential suite and all this crazy stuff.
This does not happen in the movie. He does not find a scrapbook of the Overlook stuff because he doesn't have to be downstairs. Mm-mm. With the boiler.
So Danny is still fascinated by room 217, even though Mr. Halloran said, ignore it. He kept wondering what was in it. And then he kept having these horror visions of these fire hoses coming to life like snakes and trying to get him. And he just ran away from them.
So Danny is very fascinated by 237 in the movie. And one of my favorite parts of the movie is when he's on his cute little trike. And he's just rolling. And then he stops at the door. But the fire hoses are never a thing. Mm-hmm. Also, I made a note just now in my notes. Well, I didn't just make it right now. The next note I have is that Dick never told Danny to shout at him if he needed help.
You're right.
Which is kind of a big thing.
Yes, it is. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. All right. So they decide to go to the town to do last minute shopping because it's about to be Thanksgiving. It hasn't officially started snowing yet, so they're not locked in. So they're trying to get out as much as they can. And Jack got away from them to make a phone call. And he called the guy who hired him. And he tells him all about the scrapbooks and how he lied about how perfect the Overlook is. Because Jack was humiliated in the interview. Like, it was like, yeah, this guy did not want to hire him. And he's like, oh, you got fired from your last job? Like, he made it.
You're drunk.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to call back and say, oh, yeah, your hotel isn't all that great either. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I might write a book about the Overlook. And that pissed him off. And he hangs up and he calls the guy who got Jack the job. And Jack's like, again, in that out of body experience of like, what the heck just happened? Why did I say that? And so it starts snowing. And then the main boss calls and is like, Jack, what the heck were you doing? And he said, Jack, you can keep your job as long as you promise not to write a book about the Overlook.
Well, the main boss calls when they're back at the hotel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. It begins to snow, so they leave and go back. Yeah. And then the main boss calls.
Yeah. That does not happen in the movie. The snow comes very quick and they get trapped inside very quick. And you don't see them ever try to get out of the hotel to like have normal outings before they're trapped.
Mm-hmm. So Wendy's hanging out with Danny and she shares... Or he shares that Jack's boss is not happy and that Jack wants to write a book. And Wendy's just like, what? How do you know this? And she's thinking she didn't ask him. And we find out when Danny was born, he had something in his brain then. Old wives' tale.
With his brain? Do you not know about this? It's not a brain. It's a call.
What?
It's a call. It's like a film that's over your face. You never heard this?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's an actual, like, it's a thin piece of skin that covers a newborn baby's head. So it's not anything with the brain. It's just this thing that's, like, over his head. And it's a wives' tale, like.
That he gets second sight. And look at that, he did.
Yeah. I know, if only that were true. Could you imagine if there were people out there that just shined? Actually, I think
there are.
I was just going to say, I have a very good intuition. My intuition is typically always on point.
Well, that's good.
So I have the shine.
Okay. So Danny is thinking back on memories of his friend's family member going crazy and getting taken away. So Danny's trying not to seem crazy.
Because the person who was crazy cried all the time. And so he relates to crying all the time as being crazy and he doesn't want to get taken away.
Yep.
So he doesn't cry.
Yep.
Which is so sad for a little kid.
For a little boy. And so Wendy talks to Danny the next day about leaving the Overlook and going to live with her mom. And Danny freaked out. Said no, he wants to stay here with Daddy.
That does not happen in the book. And in the book, Jack and Danny don't have a great relationship. There's like a whole scene where Danny goes into the room because he wants a toy out of the room. And Jack's asleep. And he comes in and Jack is like sitting up on the bed looking all creepy. And they just have a very tension filled conversation where you can tell like Danny's like, are you going to hurt us? And he's like, I would never hurt you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, creepy.
Jack is out cutting the topiary creatures and he was having visions of them moving to attack him. And like they legit started to attack him, but after he got away far enough it cleared up and they were back to just shrubs. And it's officially snowed in. They are having fun as a family and just having a fun snow day.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. Not even the fun family snow day, just Wendy and Danny have fun snow days.
Yeah, that made me sad. I liked that Jack was,
I know, because Jack wasn't totally always
a bad dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was always, even in the end, he's not.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Danny's standing
there. And we've been zooming.
I know.
It's only 11.
We're doing great.
Yeah.
So Danny's standing outside of room 217 and he starts having the visions of Rook. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What did I think the audiobook reader said?
Rook?
No, now that I said it right, I think he did say it right. Sorry, whatever his name was.
Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, Lanta. So he went to the room and saw this naked dead lady in the bathtub. And the lady woke up and started moving towards him. And he remembered what Mr. Halloran said about it just being pictures and it can't hurt you. He ran away, but he did get hurt. She friggin' tried to choke him and he has bruises all over her. So she's like, Mr. Halloran lied to me. No, he really didn't say he felt like that.
No, he didn't. Mm-mm. He was just confused.
Yeah.
So this scene does not happen, like we said, but that's probably to protect the little kid. But the thing about this is Danny had to go and steal the pass key to get into the room. And he knew that his dad was going to be mad if he found out that this happened. But he did it anyway because he wanted to see what was in the room. In the movie, the key is just chilling in the door and the door is open when he walks by it.
I know.
Overlook's not that good.
They just put keys in all the doors and they just leave them there.
Absolutely. That's what hotels do.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds So you read this book before working in hotels.
Yeah.
So how was it working in hotel? Did you ever think of this book?
Oh, yeah. Especially I have ghost stories in hotels.
Really?
One of my first, literally my first day on the job, we got a 911 call from one of the rooms. And what you're supposed to do, because all your phones then flash, it'll say on the screen 911 and what room number it is until you pick up to call the room to see what's going on. So front desk is supposed to call the room to see what's going on and then call 911 if it really is an emergency. Because sometimes it's a kid picking up and playing or the maid dusting it or whatever. So we get this 911 call and who I'm training with goes to call the room and no one answers. So then she calls security to have security go and check. Well, security goes and checks and no one's in the room.
Oh my gosh.
So then he comes back and he's like, okay, can you get me because they have a way to run a report that shows who all has been in the room. Because he was like, maybe it's a maid, but if it's a maid, we need to figure out who was calling 911 to see
what the heck happened.
Yeah, if they need 911 or if it was an accident. So he runs a report and then he comes back to us and he's like, well, no one's been in that room for the last 2 days.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was like,
so scary.
Okay, great. Love it.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah. The best. Yeah. And then when I did overnight shifts all by myself.
That's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I hated it. I would bring my books to read too. Or I'd watch Netflix.
I believe it. I would too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Jack's obsessed.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I just realized I'm just going to say this note now, even though I think it comes up a little bit later in the book. But so Danny, when he comes back from the room, he's comatose and not talking, which happens in the movie. But in the movie, his shirt's all torn up and weird when it's really just bruises on his neck.
Okay. So Jack is obsessed with finding out all the information he can about the Overlook. And he has a memory about his dad when he was a kid. And his dad was a real stickler. So it was beat up his mom. He beat up the kids. One time he put his mom in the hospital, but she ended up sticking with his story about, I don't even remember what his story was, but she did not stand up for herself. She was a typical pushover. But I love him.
Yeah. Someone who's in a domestic violent.
Yeah.
Relationship. It definitely sounded like I was going to say racist.
Yes, it did. But this pissed Jack off because he's he just beat the crap out of you. Why aren't you standing up for yourself? But unfortunately, those bad choices led to Jack following in his daddy's footsteps almost.
Mm-hmm.
And
the movie cuts out all the backstory, so we don't get that.
So then he had continuing his dream. He imagined his dad telling him to kill Danny, which freaked him out. And he woke up and Wendy finds Jack crying about this memory. And he also had broken the radio at some point, which was their communication to the outside world. And they searched around for Danny because she couldn't find him. And he's in another horrified trance. And this time he has bruises all over his neck and everything. And Wendy is pissed because she assumes Jack did it. And she locked her and Danny in a room and thought about stabbing Jack if he came close to them,
which I don't think she brought a knife at that point, so I'm not really sure what she was planning.
I think she did.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I know she went down and grabbed another knife.
Oh, yeah, when she made the grilled cheeses. Maybe she didn't. Maybe she was just thinking, like, oh,
that's,
I need to get that knife.
I will do. Yeah. Yeah, probably. And she just hears Jack singing down in the lobby, so she's like, oh, my gosh, he is going crazy.
The radios don't get broken. Jack steals the batteries, and it doesn't happen until, like, right at the end, right when he's gone very, very crazy. And, yeah, nothing else. Well, Wendy does lock herself and Danny in the room because she does assume that Jack, what do you call it? That Jack is the reason why Danny has bruises on himself.
Oh, yep.
But also in the book, this is when Jack starts thinking that Wendy abused Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I should go get my son. That doesn't happen in the movie. That's why I brought it up. So I feel like that doesn't happen.
Oh, you're fine. So Jack was waiting for Wendy and Danny to come down to him. And he found the ballroom. There was a masquerade party going on. And he's having martinis poured for him. And he's just like, okay, this is a good old time.
That's what I thought. I made a note. And as I was writing it down, I was like, I don't know if this is right or not. But when Jack finds the bar in the movie, it's empty. He walks up to the bar and is talking about how he needs a drink, Lloyd. And then Lloyd is just there. And there's no one in the bar with him.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole party going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he went into the bar room before.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, I'm really craving a drink, but nothing happened.
Yeah, that was that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess that could be what this time was in the movie. But this is when he like goes and tells about when he hurt Danny.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole scene that happens later in the book.
Mm-hmm.
That happens kind of in the movie.
Yes. Wendy and Danny eventually come down. And there's something even more wrong with Danny. And he's just like, Jack got it out of him. Because now Jack's like in the normal, like he's not crazy anymore. And all Danny was able to say was, it was her, which this is what Brie was saying. Jack took as Wendy. So now he's pissed at Wendy for hurting Danny. Man, this whole family, they just need to learn to communicate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Danny,
why does Danny not realize that saying it was her is going to make his dad think it was his mom?
Right, right. And Danny finally snaps out of it long enough to tell his parents all about the shine and Mr. Halloran and how he shines too. He told them about room 217 and how there's a scary dead lady in the bathtub, and Jack went and checked it out.
So in the movie, Wendy comes running to Jack, freaking out. And is like, Jack, Jack, there's a woman in here with us. And she's carrying a baseball bat. Mm-hmm. And so she tells him to go check. And so he does, even though he doesn't believe her.
Yep. And so Jack went into the room and it looked fine. But then he noticed the bath mat was still there, which housekeeping would have taken already. So he thought that was odd. But he's like, Danny's playing in the housekeeping stuff. And then he hears someone in the tub. And he like then sees this naked lady coming at him, and he leaves and shuts the door, and it was just like a whole traumatic thing. And he went and told Danny and Wendy, "Ah, there's nothing there. You're fine. Don't worry."
So, in the movie, we're with Dick now, because Dick never gets blasted with a shine to say, "Hey, I need help." And so Dick has a vision of Jack going and looking into this room. And first off, Dick has some naked pictures of ladies on his wall.
Like two, like very naked ladies.
Yeah.
It's, I'm like,
weird.
I always imagined him
the sweet old guy.
Yeah. And then like
weirdo.
Right. And I don't know why it looked like he was in a hotel in the movie.
Well, he was technically supposed to be at a hotel.
Right.
He went to Florida
to work.
Yeah. But it looked like he was just at his house.
It was odd.
Mm-hmm. And then when Jack goes and checks on the lady in the tub, she starts off as this beautiful young thing. And then Jack makes out with her, and then she turns into a dead lady. And then this is where Red Rum comes into play. Because Danny, while his dad is doing this, wakes up and grabs his mom's lipstick and writes Red Rum on the door. Oh, and this is also where the blood elevator happens.
So Jack is reading over his play, and now we're learning about all his past plays and how he's like, he has sympathy and understanding for all the murderers he wrote and all the child molesters he wrote. And I'm just sitting there like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. You're
going crazy.
Officially crazy now. Mm-hmm. And Wendy convinces him to, they're laying in bed together, and she convinces him to go check the snowmobiles.
Because she thinks she wants to get Danny out of there.
Yeah, she definitely wants to get Danny out. And Jack's like, it's going to be a couple day trip, so we have to wait till the storms died down. She's like, that's fine. They end up having sex because she's so happy he said yes. And then they, you know, finish and they're talking about Danny again. And he went to bed and had a nightmare.
Jack did.
Yep. That he's back in room 217 and he has all these dreams of his old student getting beating him up, and then Jack begins to beat up his student, and then the student turns to Danny and Jack doesn't stop beating him up and he ends up killing Danny.
Yeah. And when he wakes up, he's standing over Danny.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in the movie. In the movie later on, when he gets locked away from Wendy, she says something about getting on the snowcat to take Danny to town, and he's like, haha, you better check it. I did something to it.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll find out right here.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack went and checked on the snowmobiles, and he saw he was able to fix it, but it would be a pain in the butt to work on. So he's just like debating, being like, oh, it doesn't work, just because he doesn't want to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he realizes, oh, there's the batteries right there and they'll be fine. It'll be an easy fix. But if I just throw the batteries into the snow, then it's fine. I don't have to do anything. And so Jack realizes that, because he's like in the middle of like fighting off these weird thoughts and accepting them at the same time. And he realizes the Overlook wants Danny, so they need to leave. But then that's when the hotel digs into him and is like, no. It's all Danny's fault because he has the shine.
What
so,
we really want is you, because Jack's egotistical.
Yes. And so that's when he throws the stuff into the snow. And
yeah. In the movie, he just takes the battery out. He doesn't have to fix it or try and fix it. He just takes the battery out.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
So now we're with Danny and he's digging a hole. Like, he's out playing at the playground. He's digging a big hole and then he's freaking out because he's like, what if this collapses on me and then no one knows I'm here? So he gets out and he runs back to the hotel past the topiary creatures, and they start chasing him and attacking him. And he gets inside and he has scratches all over him. And Jack's like, Danny, what happened? And he told him everything, and Jack realized. Or no, then Danny realized, oh my gosh, Dad knows, because the creatures attacked him too. And then Jack smacks Danny for even talking about that and saying, what lies come out of your mouth? And eventually Danny went to sleep and Jack agreed that, yeah, we definitely need to get out of here.
That did not happen in the movie.
So they're laying in their rooms and they all of a sudden they hear an elevator or the elevator, and they're like, what? We're the only ones here. And Wendy and Danny also say they hear voices, and Jack's like, I don't hear any voices. Lies. And he opens the elevator door.
I know, if only he was honest.
I know. Like, this place is making me go crazy. We need to get out of here.
Yeah.
And Wendy's like, is there anything in there? And he's like, nope. And then she checks and there's like party decorations and masquerade ball masks. And she's so pissed he lied to her. I would be too.
Yeah, for sure. That doesn't happen in the movie.
I keep like standing up to talk and then sitting down, and Bree's like, that didn't happen. And then I have to stand up and talk again.
Sorry.
I know, it's so true.
I mean, I can.
No, you're fine.
Oh, wait. There are some things that I want to say. So when Jack first went down to the bar in the movie, that's when he started drinking. And that's kind of important, because in the book, it doesn't happen until like his third visit down to the bar, because he's actually really good about that. also throughout the whole entire book, because one of the things he used to do when he was drinking, he would chew Excedrin to help with his hangovers. So every time he wanted a drink, he would then just chew Excedrin. Well, in the movie, he takes a handful of pills right before he drinks a drink. So I'm like assuming that Kubrick was like, here's your Excedrin that you need to be chewing on. Do it right before you get a drink. Which doesn't make sense to me.
No, not at all. It was the nod, but not done well.
Yeah. And then when after Dick got his little vision about what happened in room 237, he decides to try and call the hotel to see how the family is. But all of the power lines are down. In the book, Dick tells him that the phone lines will go down at a certain point. That's why he tells Danny to use the shine to call him. So movie Dick is just dumb. And it's like, I'm going to try. I know it gets super snowy up there, but I'm going to try.
Danny is having visions now. Clock's counting down. The date's December 2nd, which is the next day. And just like red rum and all the scary things chasing him and everything like that. He starts screaming with his shine for Halloran. And then he sees red rum in the mirror and it says murder.
So Danny never sees red rum in the mirror. It's Wendy who sees it in the movie. And in the movie, Danny sits there and starts yelling red rum over and over and over again.
Red rum, red rum.
Yeah. And then Wendy like sits there and is like, Danny, you need to stop. Danny, you're scaring me. And then Danny's like, Danny's not here. I'm like, what? So stupid. Also, after Dick realized that the phones were down, he then tried the CB radio. And because they were getting a call, this is when Jack goes and takes the batteries out. Not because he broke it in a crazy dream.
Mm-hmm. So now in the book, though, is the first time we go to Halloran. And we see he's having a good time in Florida. He's out shopping. He's fine. He's driving home. And then he gets a pounding headache from Danny. He nearly crashes his car. And he hears Danny screaming for him. Now, Halloran doesn't have the shine as well as Danny, so he can't chat project back.
Yeah.
So he went to the airport to fly back to Colorado, right? That's where it was?
Yes.
And he ends up missing his flight because he got pulled over. He's racing.
That didn't happen in the movie. Nope. He gets on his flight and he gets there.
Yep. So Danny found Wendy and told her everything about Jack and how he's going to hurt them. But it's not his fault. It's the hotel's fault. And Jack is fighting the hotel, having that internal battle because he wants to burn the place down. But the hotel's like, no, you don't. You want to get us, Danny. And Danny continues having nightmare vision things. And he keeps trying to call Halloran, but he's like, the hotel's not going to let me get through to him. So we're on this on our own. So this sucks.
That didn't happen in the movie.
Jack went to the ballroom because they're still up there and he's trying to kill some time. And right, because they're not locked away this time. Are they locked away?
They're staying away from him.
They're
yeah.
staying away, but they didn't lock the door or anything.
They're yeah, they like, did.
They did.
Yeah, but he doesn't totally know that. He's just like, oh, they don't want to be around me.
Oh, got it. And this is when we meet Lloyd, the bartender. I love that his name is Lloyd and the kid's name is Danny Lloyd.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, cute. It's like they planned it.
Good job, Stephen King.
Has no idea. No way to plan that, but awesome. The shine. He got the shine. Yeah.
Stephen King does.
Yep. This kid named Danny Lloyd will play Danny. I need a character named Lloyd. Perfect.
Yes. Great.
So he's the bartender and he starts giving Jack drinks and they're talking about Danny and Jack says Danny's not involved in this. And Lloyd's like, oh no, the hotel wants him. Don't worry. And Jack sees Grady, who was the previous caretaker that murdered his whole family. And Grady said that he needs to fix Wendy and Danny because they're trying to leave and that's just not okay.
So this happens in the movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Halloran's airplane ride had horrible turbulence.
and he gets a car, but the cops try and turn him around. It's like this hotel really does not want him up there.
Mm-hmm. This does not happen in the movie. It's very easy for him to get up there.
Yes.
So Jack went to find Wendy and Danny, and he found them. Let's try that again. And when he found them, both him and Wendy started attacking each other. Well, I mean, Jack's initiated, but she's defending herself, and Danny's just like freaking out. And they decide to lock Jack in the pantry so that he can wake up and have food. He'll be fine, and they'll get their butts down to safety soon. Jack keeps shouting and yelling threats at Danny, and Danny keeps reminding himself, it's the hotel, it's the hotel, it's not my daddy. That'd be so horrible.
I know.
And I know. Danny and Wendy are crying in the bedroom, and then they hear the elevator come to life again. They're like, oh my gosh.
So in the movie, Wendy decides to go get her and Danny food, and she comes, and she's also trying to figure out where Jack is. And then she decides to go and look at the play he's been working on. And then one of the most iconic scenes ever is her sitting there reading All Work and No Play Makes Jack a Dull Boy, which does not happen in the book.
Another thing that took that poor secretary months for no reason.
Yes, yes. I know. Stupid. And then Jack comes up and attacks her as she's reading his play because he doesn't want her reading his play. Mm-mm. And then my next note here is that Wendy swings the bat hilariously.
I read that she had cried so much, both from stress of working with Kubrick and this movie. She was friggin' supposed to be crying, you know, 90% of the time.
Yeah.
That her tear ducts like dried up and she could not cry anymore.
Oh, no.
Isn't that crazy? My gosh.
Oh, poor girl.
And I just thought of this scene because she did not look like she had any tears on her face, but she was
crying.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So Jack has now spent hours in this pantry when Mr. Grady comes along.
So Wendy also then goes and locks Jack in the pantry. Danny doesn't help her. And then Jack like immediately wakes up. He's not knocked out when he gets put in the pantry and he's sitting there trying to talk to her about getting out. Uh-huh. And this is when she says she's going to get on Snowcat. And he goes, well, you should check it.
So Mr. Grady comes and lets him out and say, you failed about getting Danny. What is going on? But you need to bring him to us. And he's like, yes, yes, I do. You're right. I'll go do that.
That happens. And John was watching this with us and he made a very astute point. He was like, the hotel can let Jack out here. Why can't the hotel just get Danny itself?
Right. Why can't you like lock him in a room and then get him?
Mm-hmm.
He shines too big.
Yeah.
So Halloran stopped at a rest area and explained he's going to the Overlook, and the man let him borrow his snowmobile and he gave him extra gas tank and everything. And the closer he gets, he keeps having these visions of all these threats happening, and he's like, oh my gosh, I need to get there faster.
In the movie, Dick, when he gets lands from the airport, he calls the person with the snowcat because he just knows this person is like, hey, I need to get to the Overlook. Then he comes up with this story about how he thinks the caretakers are doing a lousy job, so he really needs to go up and check on the Overlook.
When he was super honest in the book.
Yeah.
Like, to a point. Like, he's like, yeah. I have a feeling.
He's like, I think something's going on with the family up there. Something's very, very wrong. I need to go. Damn, Dick.
So Wendy had this horrible feeling that Jack escaped. She's shown her shine. And she went to check on him, and there he was. Escaped. He smacked her in the stomach with a roke mallet.
Roke.
Dang, nab it. I had it right. Why do I question myself? And she had a knife. They started fighting. And finally, she stabbed him in the back to make him fumble. And she struggled to get away, but she got away. But he started following her.
She's also got broken ribs, so that's why she's really struggling away. Yeah. This doesn't happen in the movie.
Now we're
especially
back.
Since, I guess I'll say this here, it's not a roke mallet that he's swinging away with. He's swinging away with a freaking axe.
Right. So Halloran gets to the topiary creatures, and guess what? They start attacking him.
That doesn't happen in the movie.
There are no creatures.
Damn.
They said there were none because CGI just sucked back then.
Stupid.
So they just decided to do a hedge maze.
Should have did the head maze.
I know. Wendy runs to the bathroom and she wants to hide her and Danny, but he's not there. So she locks herself in the bathroom. She's like,
Where's I can't Danny? Find my kid. He's on his own.
And Jack starts smashing down the door. She starts slicing him with like a shower razor and everything like this. And at least that's what I imagine. She said razor. I imagined a shower razor. Yeah.
It's just old time days that used to have to be the like where you actually held.
That's right.
Yeah.
Old time days from the 80s that old. The 70s.
Whoops.
Sorry, everybody. It's like when kids say
the 90s are old.
I know.
I'm like, ugh. They're not that old, guys.
Right. So Jack hears something and he leaves and Wendy ends up passing out from all the pain.
So she does lock herself in the bathroom. Jack does smash the door down. Danny is not missing, but she has him run outside by himself.
Yeah, like because he could fit through the window. So she shoves him out the window,
which is also hilarious since Jack stops. Jack gets called away. So
right.
Like if she just kept him in the bathroom with her.
I know.
Whatever. But yeah.
Send him to the blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
So we're with Halloran now. And
Oh, yeah. Also, another very, very iconic part that happens in the book. That, or in the movie, that doesn't happen in the book. It's Jack Nicholson's "Here's Johnny" line, which I thought was funny because Jack's name is actually John Torrance. And so I think it's funny.
Yeah, which I was saying that was not why
Jack Nicholson did it.
He did it because Johnny Carson was super popular back then. So here's Johnny. And then Kubrick almost didn't use it because he's like, I don't get that because he's British and it's not a famous show in England.
Well, guess what? It's a happy coincidence that he left it.
That is funny. Yep. Okay. Halloran was attacked super bad by the topiary creatures and he is struggling, but he knows if he gets this extra gas, he can set them all on fire. And that's what he does. Some of them are standing protection of the overlook, though, like at the doors. But eventually he got through and Jack sees him and then beats the crack out. Crack.
Yeah, he does. Jack wants that crack.
Oh, my gosh. He beats the crap out of him with that mallet.
Yeah. In the movie, here's a huge difference. Jack kills Dick.
And he just. Beats him
one shot,
bad.
One shot him with that axe right in the gut.
And that's very not so good
for,
the sequel.
Yeah.
So Tony came back to Danny and he's warning him, you're on your own. Mr. Halloran's gone. He's not coming. And Wendy went and saw Mr. Halloran. And she tries to wake him up, but, she's like, oh, yeah, he's, not doing so good. But he wakes up. As he does not in the...
I was going to say, Wendy finds him, but she finds him dead.
Yes. And so he's like, where's Danny? And she's like, Danny's on his own now. She's with Jack. I'm like, what a great mom. No wonder your son likes Jack better.
That doesn't happen in the movie.
Nope. So Danny stood up to Jack. He wasn't afraid. He's like, Dad, I know this isn't you. And he has this like whole talk that I'm like, would a 4-year-old really say all this? But I mean, maybe the shine helped him a little bit. But then he's like, oh, by the way, you haven't done anything with the boiler, have you? And Jack's like, no. And he runs down to the boiler and Danny runs to find his mom and Halloran. And is like, we got to get out of here now.
The reason he remembers the boiler is because Tony told him, he's like, you and your dad are forgetting something important. Like, that's all I can tell you to help. And then he goes away.
Mm.
So then Danny the whole time is like, what is he forgetting? What has been forgotten? What is no one thinking about? But that doesn't happen in the movie because the boiler is not anything they have to worry about in the movie.
Nope.
Instead, in the movie, Danny and Jack are now running after each other in the hedge maze. And Wendy is now running through all the different ghosts and skeletons that are in the Overlook.
Mm-hmm. Which she is not supposed to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
So Danny relayed the message of what's about to happen to Halloran. And Halloran's like, oh, we gotta go. And even though he's just been beaten up, he picks up both Danny and Wendy and books it out of there. And they get to the door and then the whole place blows and it shoots them out into the snow. They just kind of lay in the snow as it burns and they're watching it.
Yeah, the Overlook does not explode in the movie. And Jack freezes to death rather than getting blown up.
Yep. So Halloran took them to get some blankets out of the shed and he saw the roque mallets and he starts here in the hotel, even though it's freaking burning, saying, kill Danny, blah, blah, blah. And so he's like, oh my gosh, we gotta get out of here. And so
but first he really considered it.
Yes. Yes. That's why
he almost did it.
That's why he's like, oh crap, we really gotta get out of here. This hotel is no joke. And Wendy almost died, but she made it.
No, nope. That doesn't happen in the movie. In the movie, Wendy just runs out and finds Danny and saves him and gets in Dick's snow cat that he left and books it out of there.
Yep. And then we have our epilogue, which is an entire scene in Dr. Sleep. It's kind of like a little preview. Like the, like when they do those chapters.
Yeah.
Like, next book. This is the first chapter of it. It's kind of like this, where Wendy went to visit Halloran at his new restaurant and they're chatting about Danny and how he's not doing so great. And Dick went and talked to him and he's having a one-on-one chat and he's just like, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay, Doc. And they agreed to be friends for a very long time.
Yeah. That doesn't happen in the movie.
Nope.
Because Dick's dead.
Yep. It's just so funny how you guys will see in Dr. Sleep, but they were just like, well, we're going to ignore that he died.
We need this. So. Yes.
But they didn't even do like a...
Well, what's funny?
He actually survived it.
Right, yeah.
It was just like...
Ignore.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
I'm just glad that was only... an hour and a half and it'll get cut way down probably.
Yeah,
because I had 8 pages of notes, so I was like, oh god, this is gonna be forever and a day long.
I know, we did good.
Yes, we did.
All right, let's do some casting.
Leah's
48 people's
48 people's worth of cast.
Our 48 people that IMDb credited for this movie. First, we have Jack Nicholson playing Jack Torrance.
Heck yeah. I love him. I think he did good. I think Allie recast him.
I did recast him. Crazy. Now, the only reason I recast him was because even when he was not supposed to be crazy and creepy, he was crazy and creepy.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm sure a lot of that was a director
note.
But I also think Jack Nicholson is just weird and creepy already.
That's why he got cast.
I know, but like, I don't think he could pull off normal.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So I cast Michael Douglas. He's what's her name?
Catherine Zeta-Jones' husband.
Sure. I don't know. He's from Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That's Catherine Zeta-Jones' husband.
Okay.
I could see it.
I think he could pull off normal and creepy at the same time.
But I think he's too short is my problem with him.
Oh, I'm not being... heightest.
I am.
Well, that's my choice.
All right.
So next we have Shelley Duvall played Wendy Torrance.
If they dyed her hair blonde, I wouldn't have any issues.
Really?
Yeah. I love her. She makes a movie for me.
Why?
Because she seems like the pushover that Wendy is in the book.
I guess.
Because Wendy is very much, she doesn't have a strong backbone. She has her own thoughts about how she wants things done, but she's always thinking about how her mom wants her to do this with her life and how she wants to be with Jack. And now Jack wants her to do this with her life. And she's either always trying to please her mom or Jack or Danny. And so Shelley, to me, portrayed that very well.
Well, I did actually, funny enough, I didn't know she was supposed to be blonde. I recast a blonde lady. I recast her as Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh. I'm not there with you for that. She's too mean.
Well, I don't really recognize her from anything.
Oh. She's been in a few movies and that I've seen, and she's mean.
I mean, I know her name, but she's
I think she plays a Catwoman.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a little too strong.
Oh.
For me.
I don't know. I
found an 80s
an 80s actress that I was like, you look like you could be the part. So that's what happened there. All right, then we got Danny Lloyd as Danny.
He was cute.
He's good.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he did not. I think he did one other thing and he's like, yeah, I'm not an actor.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it's just fine. Then we have Scatman Crothers. What a cool name.
I like his name.
I know. That's Halloran.
I think he did good for what he was given.
Yeah.
I think
he could have done
the book Halloran for
perfect.
Sure.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But they did not give him that in the movie.
Nope. And then we got Philip Stone as Grady.
He was fine.
Yeah. I mean, he was the creepy. I didn't expect him to be British, though. Was he British or did he just have
He was more like prim and proper because he was the butler dude.
Oh, like, yeah.
I was never the caretaker. That's always been you.
Is a theme. Oh, and that's it.
Yeah, that's
it. We did it. That's how, I mean, there's more people, but that's all we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So if you get mad at us,
go. Don't get mad at us.
Start your own podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't do all of it for us.
No, yeah. Is the theme of the book and movie the same?
I mean, kind of.
Scary hotel wants a little boy.
Yeah.
I think the theme is the same.
Yeah.
I think the way they
do
show
it is not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Do the characters stay true?
No. Mm-mm. Not at all. Mm-mm. Not in the slightest. Not even Danny.
Not really at all. No.
Mm-mm. Which do you prefer?
I prefer the book.
That doesn't surprise me.
The movie is just freaking weird.
Every time I've talked to you about this outside of the podcast, I was like, oh, good. Good, good. Good.
I just don't get it. I don't get
it. Like, it's trying to be scary, like, psychologically.
It's not scary at all. It's just weird.
Yeah. I think in the 80s it might have been.
Maybe.
Like.
Yeah, I definitely think our standards have gone.
Oh, yeah. Way more. Yeah. But I wish they stuck to the story of the book.
I think so. Yeah, I wish that too.
That would have made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I said, I also prefer the book.
Yes, you did not say.
If you couldn't tell from this whole podcast.
So on Monday for our season 4 episode, we have Bullet Train.
Yes, I'm so excited. I loved the movie. I cannot wait to read the book.
I can't wait to do both.
Yeah, it's so good. Ooh. It was way better than I expected it to be, so I'm really excited.
What will we prefer?
Find out next week, yes. Monday.
So then we have on Wednesday a mini-sode for you.
Coming at ya.
Yes.
What do we do? I don't know.
I don't know. You need an update on our lives. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah. We'll be telling you what's going on.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
It's almost summertime. So.
Summertime and the living's easy.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know that song.
I don't. All right.
All right. And with that, The Shining
went off script.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales!